Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Paul LaRue is here too, ladies and gentlemen. Paul LaRue is the author, the co-author, along with Peg Corwin, of the book Visual Selling: Capture the Eye and the Customer Will Follow. Paul is the founder of Twain Associates, which is where he has been coaching salespeople to use visual selling for a number of years now. And he's our new friend. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. Congratulations on your book, and on getting your message across in your book, because I completely agree with you that one of the things you point out is that the PowerPoint, although it's a tool, it's a handy tool, you think it's being used incorrectly when people are making presentations, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Tell us why.
Well, PowerPoint's one of those dreams that has turned into a nightmare. It allows you to create a great presentation, to design the color, the format, but the nightmare comes in where you put up the words, because it's real easy to type up. My objection is bullet point makes lots of money, bullet point keep customers happy, and it becomes a word text, words just dumped on the screen in a very colorful way. So it's easy to make a presentation, but a nightmare to watch it.
Well, I use PowerPoints sometimes. When I make speeches, I use PowerPoints about maybe half the time, depending on the topic of what I'm talking about. What I have found is PowerPoints are handy for me because I walk around the room. I don't stand at a podium. I get out with the audience and move back and forth if I can, and so I make them watch me moving around, and the PowerPoint does when I have words in my PowerPoint, it does two things. Number one, it allows me to it keeps me on track with what I'm talking about, and allows me to have a reference point, and the words on the screen remind me of where I am and where I need to go, but it also allows me to put up key points that the audience often writes down that they might not write down if I just said it out of my mouth and didn't use something on the screen.
Yes, but the words themselves become redundant. You're saying something, and what you're asking someone to do is divide their attention. Do they listen to you speak, or do they read the words on the screen?
Right.
And that causes for a disjointed message, because someone can read three or four times faster than the presenter can speak. So now the presenter is not being really heard because the listener, the viewer, is reading the screen text. You can read it. Let's call it 500 to 600 words a minute, depending upon how much you read. You can only speak at about 160 words a minute. So it's a disjointed message that's coming out.
Well, and I agree with you. What about the idea of giving them something that you want them to take with them, and if they read it, if they see it, and especially if they can take notes on it, does that not help the audience?
Well, first of all, I love handouts. Any handout is a second salesperson, so to speak. The person goes home and thinks about it and says, you know, that was a pretty good idea, but what was that point about? And then they look it up in the handout.
It's a worker bee that keeps on working after you're gone, doesn't it?
Exactly. A good analogy. Except if it's used during the presentation, it becomes, again, what I call a split presentation. Because if you hand something out, why would you want to listen to the speaker? You've got it all in front of you. You can read it, obviously, a lot faster, but even better, and the most deadly, I don't have to start listening to you talk about A, B, and C. I can go right to
right
to talk about the cost of the recommendations. Why should I put up with all this introduction? So they get way ahead of your presentation.
Right.
A good argument has a sequential, I want you to think about this, then we should do this, and then this will happen. You just completely blow that out of the water when you give somebody a handout, because they're not going to go down that sequential path with you.
Right. Well, what do you recommend if you had a brand new apprentice at your knee, ready to soak up all your wisdom and become the best presenter, the best salesperson in the world? Where would you start them?
Well, keep in mind, presenting is not unlike playing golf or tennis. There's no secret trick that I could suddenly go out and play golf and be 100% improvement in one because of this one trick. It all takes practice, finesse. Presenting is a very physical thing. Handling the nervousness, handling your gestures, handling the pauses. And so there are not 10 secret tricks to doing it. It requires, one, the visuals, and that's really gone against presenters because now they don't have to worry about delivery skills. They just read it off the screen. So it is really cut into the performance. You don't have to worry about performance. Well, you do if you really want to convince somebody. So there's not one thing I would do. I would start them possibly talking about delivery skills, and then when we got around to using visuals, and I love visuals because they are a support, but they have to be an image, not text on the screen.
What do you think about PowerPoint presentations for very small audiences, like one or two people?
I like them. You can do a stand-up presentation if it's an important one to one person, if it's that important. And the visuals, as I said, visuals have a lot of... Just think of advertising. Advertising is light years ahead of business people when it comes to using images and getting their points across with a lot of impact. So images support the message in a very powerful way, but an image has to do three things to be effective. One, it should only be up there for a second. It should only grab the listener's attention for a second or two. And two, you should allow the presenter to deliver the message. And that's the problem with the text slide, is the presenter doesn't deliver the message, the screen does.
Mm-hmm.
So you lose control. And third, a good image should help you with retention. That is, whatever you say, you want the person then to go home and think about that, and that image is firmly planted in their mind. And those three things, a text will not work in any of those because a text is not up there for just a second or two. It steals the entire show.
How do we build these? How do we build these images, though? How do we do that? I know obviously it takes a lot. It takes more work and it takes more intention and more brain power. But how do we actually create these things?
Well, that's the rub. A good presentation does take a lot of work, and PowerPoint text shortens all that, so it seems like a dream or a very good thing. But images is a creative process. If you say to me, we need to have a quick turnaround, well, I could write the words up there, quick turnaround, but how would I get that across an image if that's a key point in the presentation?
Hold on to that thought, Paul. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll come back. I'm going to get Paul to continue his thinking on how to create these images that hopefully will help you be more effective in your presentations, especially those sales presentations. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is the flagship. That's the one that's almost 10 years old. It's where you can find the show. Articles, thousands of each one of those articles, thousands of archives of past interviews like the one we're having right now with Paul LaRue, the co-author of Visual Selling, and just... Find the topic that you're interested in any of these sections of our website, and you'll find resources that will go along with what you're looking for, and I think you'll find some things that'll help you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there too, which we update every weekday. And of course, AskJim.biz is our knowledge base. That's where you can find small business answers right now. Paul LaRue is our guest. The book is Visual Selling: Capture the Eye of the Customer. And the customer will follow. His co-author is Peg Corwin. Paul, tell us where your book's available, please.
The book is a John Wiley publication and should be available in almost all bookstores, major bookstores, the Borders, Walden's, and so on, to my knowledge.
What about your own website?
Yes, it is. My website is Visual Selling, or the company name is TwainAssociates.com, but it's Visual Selling, you'll get you there, too.
VisualSelling.com?
I'm sorry, VisualSelling.biz.
VisualSelling.biz, all right?
Correct.
Check that out, folks. It's a good book. And a lot more. And there's a lot more in this book, Paul, and I wanted to point out to the audience. There's a lot more in this book than just about visual selling. He covers that. Obviously, that's the theme of the book, but there's a lot of great... A lot of great tips and tools that you'll find in here about doing a better job of selling. Quickly, Paul, give us a few more ideas on how to create graphics. How do we? I like your idea about, you know, quick turnaround. Have some kind of a turnaround graphic or something. That the what is it they say? A picture says a thousand words.
Sure. Getting that idea across so the customer, it reinforces what you're saying, and then when the potential customer leaves, they also get it. And there are always half a dozen to 10 whatever ideas you come up with. For example, in turnaround, you might want to use the idea of the tortoise and the hare. And then you talk off that point for a moment, or you might use the opening gate of the Kentucky Derby.
Right.
Something that indicates visually, I'm going to turn this around for you much faster than my competitor. So you've got a visual that grabs their attention, they look at it for a second, then you deliver the message, and then when they go away, they have a much higher chance of remembering. Think about remembering.
Let me throw something else out here too, Paul. Everybody wants to be entertained, or at least they want to feel like their time is well spent. And the information is important. They always want the information. But to the degree that you can do what you're talking about, Paul, people see that you've gone to the trouble to do this. It demonstrates that you feel that this is important, or you wouldn't have gone to this much trouble. And it keeps their attention. And it's a way of, you know, maybe your big compelling point isn't till on into the presentation. It keeps them with you until you get there.
Exactly. A great presentation walks a fine line between giving out information and making it enjoyable. And the point you made about tailoring it, if I were presenting this to a car manufacturer, I would probably use a NASCAR race, the starting of that. So I can tailor that visual to the client, whether it's a horse racing or car racing or whatever it happens to be.
And I have done that. I've done a lot of tailoring of my presentations, and it's amazing how many people come up to me afterwards and say, thank you for making this about us.
You're absolutely right. Making it about us and making it interesting and fun to watch. How many people would volunteer to go listen to most business presentations? They wouldn't, because it's worse.
But you know, Paul, I want you to come back another day and want to talk some more about the visual part. But you also, but even with all the visuals, you still have to have a compelling message, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, there's the Gettysburg Address, for example. You could forget everything if you had something that compelling. But most people do not have that compelling. I mean, not that it's not interesting. It is. But most people get a little nervous. Most people forget what they're going to say. So a visual adds a good, a nice help to presentation.
Mm-hmm. What other tips have you got for salespeople?
In presenting?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Probably if you were going to jump over, leave visuals a moment and jump over in delivery skills, how you come across visually, because everybody is reading into your presentation, is he or she sincere? Will they really pull that off? Can they do it? Will they keep me in mind? And they're going to read all that sincerity, conviction, commitment into your delivery. And they read it in indirectly by how well you use eye contact, connect with them, how well you use gestures to support the message. Are you using negative gestures, for example, turning the wedding ring, pulling on the jewelry, or using supporting gestures to say, we're committed? That is a gesture that moves towards your, touches your heart or whatever. Those things directly imply, is that person committed, conviction, honesty, sincerity, all those things.
Well, also, I like to see people who can be interrupted and still make the presentation.
Sure.
If you're in a sales pitch and the decision maker wants to ask you a question in the middle, you ought to be able to handle that and get right back into your presentation.
Sure.
If you can't, basically, I think the jig's up.
Even building in a question and answer, not just at the end, but as you go.
Right.
Now let me stop for a moment. Have I made the point? And working in question and answer. Question and answer is not just for the end of the presentation.
Right. Exactly. Paul, we're going to have to wrap it up. Will you come back another day? We've got a lot more to talk about.
like very much to do that.
Good. Paul LaRue, ladies and gentlemen, and Peg Corwin are the authors of Visual Selling, Capture the Eye and Customer Will Follow. That's visualselling.biz, right, Paul?
Yes, it is.
All right. Quick break. Right back with Annabelle Dodd right after these messages. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.